Welcome back, beloveds, to another beautiful edition of Experiment 301. I'm your host, Brother Beloved, also known as Kevin K. Pierce. And what you're listening to now is part two of the two-part interview I did with the good brother, Noah McQueen. This part focuses on everything after his transformative retreat trip and focuses on him turning his life around at WISE, getting involved with literally every program you can possibly be involved in, every extracurricular. Going into My Brother's Keeper, meeting President Obama, going to Morehouse, and all the good community service work he ended up doing once he got down to Atlanta. So I really hope you guys enjoy the second part of this interview. And also, do not forget the charity organizations that he's been working with. That is AUS Sandwich Run and Lifting Our Voices on Instagram. Be sure to give them a shout. All right, right to the interview.
So fucking powerful, bro. And let me tell you why, because in this podcast there's going to be a lot of differing views that people are going to hear, whether it be about religion, politics, yada yada yada. That right there is the beautiful part of religion. It's when someone gets to get deep in part of their relationship with where they believe to be the creator, and it does something to them, man. It really does, and that shit's beautiful, bro. Sorry to cut you off. Continue. But I had to point that out, because this isn't a religious show, but, like, when I hear stories like that, that shit gives me fucking chills, bro. It really does. It really does. David and Goliath story, the burning bush, and like all of it, all of it.
Like they were the weirdos. Like, you know what I'm saying? Looking at them.
Like, how dare you be happy? What's wrong with y'all?
Like, and I realized that, like, that, granted, I didn't have that type of privilege. I didn't come from that same type of background. And I was really the odd man. I was, like, one of the black people there. Like, at the whole, you know, hundreds of people, you know what I'm saying? And even my back, but no one knew I had warrants out for me, by the way.
Oh, yeah. That part just didn't get mentioned? This time?
The rest of this time is like a month.
Okay.
But this experience was totally different, man. I wasn't fighting. I was probably the most peaceful month of my life, bro. I wasn't getting in the sense of my fighting with no commotion. But I was, you know, it would read my Bible. I had a homie, Vlad. I would love to know what Vlad is at now. I know he, I think he also got, like, I think there's something about the road. Like, he was... He got a small charge. Well, he got more time than I think he deserved, but I don't think, you know, I really hope everything well with him. But me and him, like, stuck together, man, and was staying prayed up, and that's kind of why I made that goal sheet about things I wanted to do in my life. And, you couldn't really have stuff like that materials in your room, so I just remember writing, trying at night, like, you know, just stashing or whatever. It was still chaotic in there.
I was gonna ask, because you changed, but the environment around you has not changed. So what was that month experience like?
It was just the way I looked at it, you feel me? Like, it was really just the way I looked at it, because I was so excited, and I had this, like, renewed, I felt different, I thought different. I had this optimism, like, you know what I'm saying? Like when you have, like, the fruits of the spirit, it is, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Like, I felt all of those things in the midst of, like, nuttiness. And it got to a point where, like, people wouldn't even bother me. That was another thing. Like, I don't know if it was just, like, a different type of life, but, like, I knew for a fact something was different. And I know, like, my homies really didn't understand it. My family didn't understand it. And a lot of people didn't believe it, you know what I'm saying? Because at that same point in time, the school I was at, Wise, the administrator was trying to, like, get me to go to this military school in Great Valley. And they say, yo, you messed up one more time, you're going to Grand Valley, you know what I'm saying? I told them, like, yo, I'm going up with Trent, because the quarter before, I just got that, the highest GPA I've ever gotten, ever, was 2.0. I got 2.0 that quarter, because I really wanted to play football, so I was trying to, like, motivate myself.
Absolutely.
So I got a 2.0, like, on a dot, and that becomes relevant later, because, one of the security guards,
he's currently giving his dog the evil stare down, for those that can't see the video.
Yeah.
His dog got the bark. You gotta make sure everything good money.
Yeah, my roommate just walked in, that's why.
There we go.
so what ended up happening was, I got a 2.0 on the dot, and I worked really hard to get that, you know, GPS stuff like that, so... and he told me, like, yo, this is your last shot, this is your last chance. Like, if you don't do well here, you won't basically be able to go. We're going to put you back on high school, we're going to put you on Grand Valley or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the day I got out, I didn't go see my buddy, I didn't, you know, link up my homies, whatever. I came to check my tomorrow, which was like 5 minutes. I went to Wise and, asked him, can I play football? And I had the house arrest bracelet on. I had the clothes for like a month. It's a change. Like, I look crazy. And everybody was looking at me like, me what? Like, and so I remember, like, Coach Sean Allen, man, really going to bat for me, because he showed my grades to the head coach, man.
Is it Coach P still at that time? It's still P? Oh, man.
My ass is like, do it. And I love Pete to this day, man. But, you know, I remember Coach Sean. I don't recorded in the air on some follow, you can put them on the ground, whatever. You're like, yeah, like, nah, it says he got a 2.0 on the dot. Look at the last quarter, he got a 2.0 on the dot. And, you know what I'm saying? And he allowed me, like, he's like, oh, damn, oh, shit, yo. And they're like, all right, I guess you play. And so when I got on the field, you know what I'm saying, my talent really just, you know, did the rest. But we ended up winning the state championship that year.
You was on the, against QO? You was on that team?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Congratulations. Yeah. Yes, sir. I watched that game on TV.
Yeah, bro. And look, it's crazy. I watched it on TV the year before, too, and I was on house arrest. So I watched
Wow, man.
And I watched the game on Old Mill one, right?
Yeah.
Old Mill one, like my freshman year, when they waved everybody else on my team up. Remember, I told you I fought the water boys, so I keep that there.
Right.
But everybody I was playing with got waved up. And I remember, like, y'all better than him. And I remember swearing to myself, and I'm like, bro, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to do it, whatever. I'm going to win the NCAA championship next year.
Do you still have the ring?
Huh?
You still got the ring?
I still got the ring.
There we go.
That's really huge. But, and that was the first one we ever got. But I remember, like, promising myself, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And that's really my drive to, like, get my brain together. So I'm like, yo, I can't win a state championship without nobody's team. And at this point in time, like, I played rec league when they told me I couldn't play. My 10th grade year, but I had locked up. And then they took away, I ended up getting locked up. And then while I was on house arrest, they let me play while I was on house arrest. And then when I got back, they just basically revoked all my privileges. Like, yeah, you can't play on football team anymore. And so, I really, like, I was playing in the stop. And then when I turned everything around, and then I also got, like, I remember my first time, like, I got honor roll, like, for the first time I ever had, like, a 3-1. And everybody was, like, shocked. People, like, thought it was a mistake. So I'm still doing this with an ankle.
Now, what if I see the face, bro?
From Canada, so, like, I don't remember many people from Canada, but...
Wait a minute. Yo, that look like D-Wade? The, Soul Studies?
Yeah.
Yeah!
Hold on. Bro, you know what, bro? Bro told me, I remember one day in his class, I walked in, they punched somebody in the face, like, smacked the hell out of somebody. No reason. There was no reason. My homie Tyron was in his suspension, and I wanted to get in there with him. So I'm like, bro, I was just about to go do something.
This, Wheeler? Oh, yeah. If you know where he is, bro, find him. I would like to know what he's up to, too.
I need to hit him, man.
Yeah.
I just wheeled off for him. I think his name is Ishmael. It was somebody I just...
You punched my cousin, bro?
I don't think it was your cousin. Was it your cousin?
Ishmael Imran, that's my cousin, bro. Nigga, punched my cousin.
It might have been your cousin.
Nigga, fuck my cousin up. Goddamn.
But I remember, you know, Anderson did, bro, he pulled me out of class. He ain't write me up, man, you know what I'm saying? Tell him about you, like, bro, you have the power to be the next president of the United States, or the next black president of the United States. So, like, you know what I'm saying? You want to do great things. Like, he spoke so much life into me, bro.
Absolutely.
What the hell is wrong with you? I remember thinking, like, at that moment, like, and I never forgot that. I'm like, this dude is sick. Like, he's nuts. And then he ended up being one of my teachers, or one of the teachers at Wise when I started doing well.
Nice. Nice. So I know he probably sitting there like, yes!
Yeah. Yeah. You like, he's seen the manifestation of all of that stuff, man. So that's like, even now, that's like somebody I really trust. Like, he's a really good dude. And so, bro, yeah, man. So I went to got a 3-1, and I had a 3-3, and a 3-5, and a 3-7.
There we go. There we go. Was that some Morehouse?
No, it was like a little small school. Like, they were giving out like the Shakespeare type situation. And
okay.
It was giving people money if you decided to like go do that.
You have an amazing actor name, by the way.
Noah McQueen.
Noah McQueen is an awesome actor name, by the way. That deserves to be at the top of a fucking poster. It's racially ambiguous, for sure.
Yeah, so like it's a pretty good mix, but yeah, bro, I pretty much like it was being on the run, man. It was being, you know, on that Christian shit, because it wasn't for that, bro. Who knows? I definitely, but that, and all this is before even like, you know, this is like at 1 year. This is literally all this is happening like from July to like April. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it happened so fast. And then, you know, I went from being the worst person in school, somebody trying to kick out and all that stuff. And also, my sister went to the school, too, and they kicked her out. So, like, and then I'm going to, like, the Golden Boy to, like, the first interview I ever did was NBC, and they came to school, and they were talking about
it. I saw that interview.
Did you really?
I did. They had it on the news. Yeah, my mother's lived in PG County my entire life. I remember seeing that interview, and I think I added you on Facebook that day because I remembered you from Kettering, and I remember seeing that fucking story, and I was like, saw that clip. Wait, so I'm assuming you feeling the way at that point, like...
Oh, yeah, I was heated. I was hot. And at that point, I was like, well, I'm never doing an interview. I didn't know, like, who was going to be coming. I was like, I'm going to be more conscientious of outlets. Because I'm like, that's not... I mean, the parts where, you know, I really was kind of like staying speaking about some real shit. You know what I'm saying? They wasn't... That's not what they covered. You know what I mean? They got more than enough to make a child in school what they wanted. But that's not really what they covered. So, I was hot about that. And that led to me being very weary of certain outlets, you know what I'm saying, certain stuff like that, but that happened early. I was like, my 11th grade year, bro, but now I went from being the one day being the worst to being like the daughter boy, and it was a culture shock, man. It was everybody now looking at you is like the inspiration story, and with all the answers, and now
it's a very, very different time. So I gotta ask, at what point do you get involved with My Brother's Keeper?
So at this point, right, I'm doing all these things. Like everything you think in the school I was doing. The only thing I didn't do was like SBLA and the robotics club. Like that's the only thing I was doing. I was even working with like the Special Olympics. So I was at the Special Olympics.
Wait, before we continue, so real quick, so when you're going in the good direction, is there like an internal need to do as much good as you did bad, so that's why you went so hard with the clubs, or was it just I'm naturally gravitating towards these things?
more.
Okay.
I'm going to be able to say they made a difference and impact. No one's going to be able to, like, we look at my resume compared to whoever else's. If I got this GPA, because I graduated with a, I had a 1.9 GPA, and I finished with a 2.1, but after going for that, like, I had a 3.5 and 3-ish straight. But when it got to the point of college, I'm like, bro, like, I need to rack this up to a point. You look at regulars, I'm like, you can say, like, my, I'm trying to know where as a student, I always stayed involved. But I had to, like, a market at a certain point in time.
Mm-hmm.
It just come from a real thing until so much, like, it didn't really become something I thought it was, like, it was the type thing. Like, that's why I wasn't in Avid or, like, college program.
Yeah, like the college counselors and things of that nature.
Yeah, like they have like students that do. I was never in that because I was like, I do everything but that because that's not, I don't know nothing about that. So, bro, it was one of the things of like, when you're doing Christ, there's a, not to say that the flame has out, but there's a charge that you. And for me, I felt, one, I had to give, I had to share, and I had a lot to show. And
You had a testimony. You had a real life testimony, bro.
And so my favorite verse in the Bible is Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine to others, see your glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Okay.
So, like, you know, that was something that I had that wristband on my wrist for, like, 4 years, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a constant reminder, like, you know, let people see your good work, glorify the Father, which is having that, because, you know, you didn't do anything wrong with somebody, but God put you in the position of God, you know, just to further all that praise to God, because that's really where it goes. And so, like, when I was doing, I'm working with, like, the Special Olympics, which is also the most humbling experience, one of the most humbling experiences in my life, because it was so amazing. And I started a mentoring program at the Barack Obama Elementary School, which is in the same parking lot.
My little sister goes to the elementary school.
Okay, perfect. So you know exactly the
program. Yeah, they're right next to each other.
Yeah, so I started a mentoring program right there, like the year before. I even got accepted or even heard about my brother's keeper. And so my brother's keeper basically, you know, it was a program that was already kind of... it was already launched, but the activist kind of, it came out a little bit later. So it came out of, the Trayvon Martin. It came out, my dog. It came out of the killing of Trayvon Martin. It was an initiative that the president basically was saying, like, we need more mentor and communities of color. And basically was saying that, you know, if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin.
A quote that shook the world. I plan on doing a deep dive episode on one of my on my political show about that statement because I really don't think people know how impactful that was.
Yeah, no, it was, and that's how people love to take things at everybody, but that's a person that and his staff and you know the community that he created, the village that he created, you know, amongst the workplace is second to none. Taught me a lot about leadership just by the people he empowered. So I got involved with that, with doing a series of interviews. Actually, when I was going through this process, man, there were a lot of other like turmoil and stuff like that going on in my life. And a lot of people thought just because I was still doing good stuff that everything was good. And I had to explain. This to my coach, like, yo, like, you know, just because I'm doing better doesn't mean my circumstances, situation changes.
Right.
Like, that it changed. Cause at this point, I was living on my homie's couch. I wasn't even living at home anymore with my grandmother. And so, just a bunch of family dramas. I knew it got to a point where I knew that if I stayed home any longer, I wasn't going to graduate high school. But I knew it. I knew it. When I'm going through the interviews and stuff like that, going to the White House, I wasn't even, like, I haven't seen my folks once. So, like, but they needed it. They had to be there. One for presentation, two for like, you know, guardianship, whatever, stuff like that. I think I'm already 18 at this point, but they had to be there in order, you know, for the interview and interview for my brother's keeper. Because I think, you know, he had the program, but he wanted to have his own set of mentees in the area, whatever. So they did like launch this big crazy in a month. But, whatever. And that ended up taking place. And then from there, we was never guaranteed to see the president. It was never a guarantee of, hey, you want to be with him every week and da-da-da, all this other stuff. It was never that. It was literally, the first time, he just popped up and showed up. He was just always involved. He just always wanted to be there. And I remember, the first encounter, I was talking to, at that time, the Secretary of Education, Arnie Duncan. And I remember, even from us first interacting, it was a formal handshake, a gap up, so there was stuff going on there. We've been at Mr. President, because he came in, a couple hours late. So, he's the president, so he's never really late.
No bullshit.
That's kind of how that happened. And everyone's looking at me I think kind of hit it off, different. We have pictures from that day. And, that's kind of how it started. And we used to just eat. Literally invited us over for lunch, dinner, balls, Christmas balls, stuff like that. The iconic picture of us walking and laughing and stuff like that. We was on our way to go play basketball.
You got the hoop. Wait. You got the hoop of President Obama.
Yeah.
Is he nice?
Oh, he's cold. He's cold.
I've heard, man. I've heard.
He played at Occidental, I think a little juco, smaller car. He's cold. He's a lefty, so it throws you off. I think he played 3 months before that. When he got the ball, he was just cashing.
I miss having a president that could give niggas buckets, bro. I miss that. That's important. That's a requirement for running the country. The ability to give buckets.
Yeah, he definitely. In the basketball court, which used to be the tennis court, I always laughed at joking, they said when we get black president, they go to the basketball court. We go to the tennis court to the basketball court. That's essentially what happens.
Exactly.
So, he cold. He got his own president's team, too. So, he not nothing to be played with. You know what I'm saying? So, and our relationship, definitely just morphed into that. And then I got the opposite of a story court for us to sit down and for us to talk. So we talked for 45 minutes, man. We just sat down. I think the interview probably 26 or 7, but we really talked for 40 plus minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, they chopped my head and stuff like that, but it was an amazing, organic conversation. We had a facilitator there the whole time, but you couldn't tell. He only spoke once.
I was just about to ask, how do we go from Wise to Morehouse?
I got turned on to Morehouse because of Amante, and I was able to get so Amante, like I said, African American Male Sandman Towards Excellence, we ended up becoming president of the program, and we started trying to expand what we're doing, colleges and schools, so we ended up going to Bowie State for Nikki Giovanni workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Cool, powerful, dope. And I remember us being all dressed up in suits, so that's how we, have every meeting. And afterwards we were trying to go take pictures of buoys at the back of what I was wearing. And everybody was like, yo, move out the way. These guys are they Morehouse men. I'm like, what? We're out of high school. But we went from the back of the line to the front of the line. And I said, whatever this is, I need to know about it.
Right.
And so, man, I ended up even chaperoning a program where I took three guys. No, it was three or four guys. From I was still in high school, and I was a chaperone. And them guys, they had to pay them. It was fully funded for them to go to to Morehouse on a tour. And one of them guys graduated from Morehouse this year and is now he's about Victorian.
Shout out to him, man. That's great.
Yeah, bro. It was crazy. So, but I thought it was a long shot. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I don't want none. You know what I mean? But I had to make sure, I actually kind of gave. I don't know if I'm going to say I gave up, but I did an interview with the president, right? I said I wanted to go to Morehouse, I said I was interested, but I didn't get accepted. Even, student acceptance day, everybody, had a gave me a shirt. He had an extra one. He gave me a Marvel shirt. I was emotional. Like, bro, like, I'm not taking no pictures. I feel embarrassed walking around here wearing this because I didn't get accepted. I don't know like what I'm about to do. And so I thought, you know, I was getting recruited, offered to play football at Bellhaven, Mississippi, and Worcester, Massachusetts. And, you know, people were looking at me for their program, but it was just like everything was falling through. Wow, I could have been at Hampton if Ms. Reed would talk to me in my 78 phone calls. Howard wanted me to help do like the communications program, and I had connections over there. But what ended up happening was my mentor's friend ended up having some connections, and I put my application in after the whole like love thing. So like I'm like, oh, maybe this is, you know, it's gonna be a leg up than not. And so I'm like, not really knowing what's up, bro. I'm not really knowing what's up. And they made me put in an application tomorrow. They made me do a whole application the day of the combat. The day of. Somebody called me, come out. I was like, yo, look, like, you say you want to go tomorrow. You say you really want to do this. I don't need you to do the application today. I'm like, bro, it takes months to do this. Like,
no, boy, like, people take, like, their entire first semester of high school to do their combat. Like,
that's like a real. I said, bro, you know how long it takes to get help forms? Like, all of the, dude, like, I need all this stuff done, bro. So I remember running around like a chicken with my hand cut off, trying to make all these moves and make it happen, man. And he was just like, I'll never forget, like, I got it all done, right? But by the time, from noon to 4, I had to write all this stuff, do all this stuff, like, and then, like, get help for, like, I had to do some stuff, get recommendation letters, I had to do all of that, bro. I had to do all of that. And, like, that small window, and I gave it all, so it was like, I had to see, like, you know, go get it, like, mentality, I didn't need it all, but I just had to make sure that you could do it, because at this point, like, that's what it's going to take for you to succeed at Morehouse, for us to see that, you know, next level.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was such a mind.
That's like a Phil Jackson, Popovich-level mindfuck, but, like, it makes sense. It's like, hey, if you're going to make it down here, you're going to have to go get it, man.
It works, right. And so I went through two summer school programs. I went to SCP and I went to Code Leadership. And I started both programs. I actually missed the final my testimony because I was at the SCP. I was at Code Leadership program. And so I got like a dollar or whatever. They had like a award. And so it wasn't that program, so we ended up making a PSA. I presented it to the executives of Coca-Cola. And so I did the 109 program, and they accepted me at the PSP, like pre-enrichment summer, pre-summer enrichment program.
Right.
And so I was 3 weeks late to a six-week accelerated program. I was 3 weeks late to a six-week accelerated program.
Oh. So
I had to do a semester worth of work in 3 weeks. So, Dean Dart was worried about me because he's like, yo, I don't know if you can do it. Like, this ain't no normal shit. Mind you, I went down there only to spend a week, and when he offered, I had to go back home. You know, I took a 19-hour bus ride. I went home, packed the rest of my stuff for the rest of the summer, and came right back. So I went home Friday night and came back next Sunday because I couldn't miss any time. But I did not sleep at all. I think I got 9 to 10 hours that first week at PSCP, like 4 hours. I had to do like 27 math lab assignments, which was 20 questions apiece. I had like 3 papers at that time just to catch up. And I had to do like 2 or 3 projects. Maybe 1 or 3 papers, but I had to do all that just to catch up, to get on course where everybody else was. And if I didn't do it, I couldn't get accepted.
And hey, you ended up knocking all that shit out, bro. Here you are.
I did. I got a award for it. Like, I got an academic honor from PSCP.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm only doing that jump 3-4. That was the craziest time of my life, bro. I definitely came down there for a week. And then managed to spend never really going back, man. It's been the last 5 years here, man. So it that was just a blessing because it definitely some soul searching, one of the craziest experiences.
Alright, so we're gonna fast forward a little bit. So we get to Morehouse. What is freshman year like? You're out of the furthest you've gone from the PGDC area is North Carolina for what you said was like a couple months. So I gotta ask, we're in a whole new environment. We're in Atlanta. What's the vibe like? You said what?
I said I always think it was to get Atlanta up, like hype it up. But honestly, bro, everything they say about Atlanta is true. Like
all of it?
Like everything they say about Atlanta, I always thought we used to drag out. And so freshman year was nice, man. I had 3 papers due a week. You know what I'm saying? So like I think I ended up writing like 40 papers my first semester.
Shit.
Like no cap. One of my midterms, I had like 7 papers due.
Oh my god.
But we was the type, my friend group, man, one of my best friends, even to this day, you know what I'm saying? We was the type, we'd stay out 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, have class at like let's say 11, 9:25, we'd go in and write our paper, just write. And the lowest grade I got that whole semester was A-. I still got all those papers. I got all those papers just because I want somebody to check me about the 39 papers that I wrote. And that's me coming out of PSCP. That's me still having that chip on my shoulder. Like, bro, like I came into college with a 2-1. And, you know, all y'all valedictorians, like, y'all, I'm going to have the most fun. I'm going to get the best grades. And I'm going to, you know, really be lit. So, that was like my mentality. Like, I attacked school the same way I attacked just the social life and everything else. I just didn't sleep much. So,
oh yeah, I was about to say, this don't sound like you getting more than like 5 hours of sleep a night.
Bro, 5 hours be a good night, bro.
I feel you, bro. I feel you.
Because everything's new, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want to go to school close, so everything's like just a lot, man. It's the A, and it all opens up at one time, bro. And you just kind of like navigating through it. So I'm glad, but I left fresh year with a high GPA, a lot higher than a lot of other people, so. And still with a fire internship too. I had to work on Capitol Hill that freshman year. I had to work hard too, bro, because I didn't have a scholarship, man. And I ended up being a part of the Adams program, which is a service scholarship. So Morehouse has something called Bonner, which is the highest scholarship that Morehouse gives, and it's for service. It's completely for service.
Mm.
I didn't get that because I didn't get admitted when everybody else got admitted. I came later. So I ended up becoming part of an Adams program, but while I was part of an Adams program, I did so much community service, so much work, that they ended up moving me up to Bonner, which is not a thing. Like, bro, like, you have people that can get Adams of the Year and all those stuff, because Bonner does twice the amount of hours than Adams.
Uh-huh.
But, so, at Bonner get full tuition, get trips paid for, and they get slacked in, they get trips, they get all these things. Adams get like a stipend. Like, so, it was a big blessing because my first year wasn't paid for at all. So, and that was one of the things where, like, I really just had to grind, and I even, you know, it was a human transfer because of the whole situation. I didn't have Bonner, and I didn't have a scholarship. I knew, like, I couldn't really play up that, but it was a blessing. I never even knew in high school that you could go to college fully funded for community service.
Right. Some neighborhoods, it's not even a thought. You think the only way to get to college is you have straight A's or you play a sport and you get a full ride that way. You don't even think the whole what I do for the community, which at this point, after all you've been through and the change from the Christian trip and all that there, community service is like second nature to you. So having to put in something you take joy in, so having to put in more time in that for another program was nothing.
It was a school that would be breathing and packaging me so that I would ride. I was like, I'm looking at the guys who play. I'm definitely better than these dudes. I realized, like, yo, what happens? How he goes? Like, what happens if you're a knee or your back, whatever? allows you to meet the next MLK of the world. And that's, and I see myself developing as a man. I'm like, I need that aspect more than I need working again. So it was kind of an easy choice. I realized, like, yo, like, I told him in an interview, which is kind of really taboo, because I was like, bro, honestly, I start interviewing them in the interview, because I was like, bro, I want to know what y'all doing, because I'm going to do what I want to do anyway, but it's a matter of, like, if what y'all, what I plan on being, you know what I'm saying? I plan to represent myself.
Right. That's wonderful. So what are some, give me like three places you have to travel with this program that really stand out in your mind. Three experiences.
Three experiences.
Three of the experiences that really stand out. I love the professionalism as your dog is trying to love you. He's still getting his story out. I love it. Sadly, we are at the point of the interview where we do have to start coming down to a close. I do hope you come on again because I need to get into all these travel experiences. Like,
man. I feel like we hit a lot of points. I know you want to get into the early childhood, early stuff, man.
That's part one. That's going to be part one. Part two is going to be more along this stuff. So, technically, after we're done the next one, if you're willing to come back on, we'll have three podcasts. Hold on, I gotta leave space for the applause for the graduation button. All right, back, continue.
We definitely still doing great stuff in the community now, man, and, you know, I appreciate you doing it, and, yeah, bro, you made me reflect in a way that I haven't had to reflect in a while, and, like, I've done interviews and podcasts and you know, radio, and all those stuff about, like, talking about kind of my upbringing, but I've definitely told you a lot more in detail and in depth than I've ever shared. And so I definitely appreciate you, you know what I'm saying, creating that space, that comfortability to have that.
I appreciate you being so open because I told you before we started taping, little boys that look like me and you need to hear this shit because there's little boys that are going through the system and getting into trouble here and there. They need to see that there can be a light at the end of the tunnel if they're willing to change and do the work within themselves. It's not going to come from the outside. Change didn't happen until you said it yourself. You found the love of God for yourself. You had to find it. I'm sure you grew up with religious people in your family, but you had to put the work in to change for yourself. And I really want that to be the point of emphasis throughout these podcasts. It has to come from yourself. It has to.
I also was, it was on the table, like, I don't want to be somebody else's recipe shirt. You know what I mean? I think a lot, like, and I'm able to, like, you know, just people, something happens to you, they'll put you on a shirt and then they go
Bro, Iverson Mall literally has a store dedicated to Rest in Peace shirts. Iverson Mall literally has a store where they make t-shirts and 90% of their profit is Rest in Peace shirts.
Yeah, bro. See, I couldn't, you know what I'm saying? And I know, I don't want to be that. And I thought about, like, what happens if I go today? What is somebody's memory or lasting, like, impression of me? Did I do enough while I was here? Do I give them something good to say about me while being here?
And as of right now, my brother, without a doubt, that answer is a strong yes. Like, I don't think there's much more stories of resiliency and turning life around to hard work and dedication like this, brother. So I definitely thank you for your time. I really do thank you for your time. With that, though, I do have to close. So for my man, Noah McQueen, for me, brother beloved, a.k.a. Kevin Pierce, thank you so much for your time. Thank you, listeners, for listening this far out. This has been Experiment 301. Thanks for listening.